Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin. What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet. Well,
hour number two, tremendous Thursday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley with you here on BetQL. Loaded show still to come. Power hour, final hour. All our bets for tonight. Giants and the Washington football team. Side total. And Proppa's going to preach. The pool of props. It's expansive. Ken's got his suntan lotion. I got my tanning oil, my Mai Tai.
Yeah.
We will get into the pool of props and we will put them up for thy royal scrutiny and determine which ones will descend upon the royal peasants to help them, you know, elevate into the middle class or the upper middle class. That's what we do here on
bourgeoisie,
You Better.
Right?
All our bets.
The middle class? Bourgeoisie? I get it right. I was bad at history.
I don't know, man. I was good at history, but I've killed a lot of brain cells. So that
I think the bourgeoisie
me being
was
good
like
at
the
history
French
is
middle
now
class.
History.
I think that was it. So it was like the ruling class.
The bourgeoisie, I'm pretty sure that's right. So the word is bougie come from, the word bougie then.
Might be spawned from that. Might be something completely different. Really, I have no idea.
I like this. Two morons talking about European history. You know what we'll do? We'll try.
You bet your sweet bippy we are.
That's what yes. You know, we'll try and give you winning bets for football here and leave European history to the experts. Yeah. Sam Panayotovic still to come. Josh Norris still to come. Nikki football soccer bets still to come. But right now, here on the show, Real Deal Holyfield, Pro Sports Better. Our pal, the great Rob Pozzola, joins the show for his plays for week number two in the National Football League. We want everyone to follow Rob on Twitter. At Rob Pozzola. Everyone to check out the app that Rob is involved with, which is BetStamp, and follow them on Twitter at BetStamp. His podcast is the Circles Off podcast, great sports betting podcast. And he also does a Sunday morning NFL Periscope with final thoughts leading into the day's action. Rob, welcome back to You Better You Bet. Nick and Ken here, tremendous Thursday. What's going on? How did week one treat you and yours?
Week one was pretty good. I mean, it was a winning week. I probably lost more than I should have on the Ravens on Monday Night Football, especially when the line got to 3. Adding a little bit there as well, but overall can't complain. I mean, it's a long season and I'll take any week, winning week any way that it comes.
Rob, one thing I want to ask you about, this has been a topic recently and really every season this gets brought up. Sometimes it's week two, sometimes it's later, you know, week three, week four, the idea of, you know, sides or totals that represent overreactions to things that we saw in week one. A lot of people will make those arguments, right? So, you know, something like Philly only being 3.5 against San Francisco. Maybe they were worse before the year. The Chargers being like 3.5 against Dallas, who was thought to be good before the year. It could be said that like, oh, those are overreactions. That might be something that people say. Do you find that actually happens? Like that there are overreactions to week one, or do you think that's kind of overrated?
Well, I think it definitely happens in some capacity, but in a lot of cases, the overreaction actually ends up being the right line as well. So it's just a matter of looking at the week one performance and saying, how likely is this to occur in the future? You know, I think back to a couple years ago, 2019 season, if you remember back in week one, Cincinnati went to Seattle and they gave the Seahawks a fight. They really should have won that game. And in week two, they end up closing as like a pick'em to the 49ers and they got absolutely smoked. And that to me was an example of an overreaction just in general. It's one that always comes to mind because by season's end, we look at that game and like, how is San Fran not a double digit favorite? And that's just the NFL for you. There's a lot of uncertainty early on in the year here. We only have one game to go off of. We don't know whether teams played at the top of their range or at the bottom of their range, or if that's going to be consistent moving forward. So I think the challenge for us bettors is to decipher which of these teams can replicate those performances going forward and which ones probably can't.
All right, Rob, let's start with the team that absolutely dominated last weekend, looked great, maybe better than people expected. Maybe not. That's the New Orleans Saints beat the Packers 38-3 on the road at Carolina. Saints, -3.5, total 44.5. What do you got for us here, Saints and Panthers?
Yeah, this one got bet down from 4 to 3.5, and I agree. I mean, I'm on the Carolina Panthers here, and I think that this number probably should just be a flat 3. And I think a lot of this is obviously to do with last week's performances, New Orleans being priced higher than they should because of a blowout win over Green Bay. And New Orleans really didn't get challenged in that game. You look at the final plays that they ran 60 plays overall, only 21 of them were passes. So while Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdown passes, looked pretty good, got lucky to get away with a turnover that should have been a turnover. Aside from that, really didn't have to do much in a close game. So I don't think we learned more about the Saints. I think that was probably just one of their top end performances and one of Green Bay's lowest end performances. Now, Carolina, I'm not high on. Obviously, I've talked about Sam Darnold in the past. I'm not a big fan of him in general. But you look at the injuries that are mounting for New Orleans, especially at cornerback. They probably are going to throw Bradley Roby into the mix, who they traded for. But I'm not sure how much of an impact he makes getting over there, having to learn a new system altogether. Defensive line missing Marcus Davenport, David Onyemata as well. So you look at teams early on in the year that are not their true teams. And the Saints, I think, are one of them where they're really beat up on defense. This is going to be one of those tests for the Panthers, especially, you know, me watching this game. If the Panthers can't move the ball on this Saints defense that's beat up, then I'm going to have to significantly downgrade them going forwards, because I didn't like their offense last week against the Jets. But I just don't agree with this number. I can't get anywhere. I can't get to 3.5. I think 3 is probably the true price here. So I like Carolina on the line value.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rob, Vegas and Pittsburgh is a game I've spent a lot of time thinking about this week, because I think, you know, like I make numbers on games, you do a lot. Power ratings on games, it's a fun exercise. I think it's tough to make a number like in a vacuum that gets to 5.5 or 6 in this game, at least for me. But then there's all of the quote-unquote like situational stuff that goes into it. Like Vegas plays a Monday night overtime game in week 1, and on a short week travels to Pittsburgh. Gruden, not a great road coach anyway, so it's kind of, you have this, it's already week 2, and I feel like we have a horrible situation for a team with Vegas. So they open 5.5, and then the number actually goes like away from my number, goes to 6. Do you like Pittsburgh in this game because of some of those angles, or how are you handicapping this?
I do. I bet the Steelers earlier today at 5.5. I would still bet them at 6 at Bet Rivers right now. I bet it all the way up to 7, basically. And definitely, I think a lot of times there's this quote-unquote fluff where we talk about these narratives and these angles that might already be priced into the market. I'm not necessarily sure that this one is, because if you look at West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast, especially over the last 3 or 4 seasons, the West Coast teams have figured it out. I mean, there is a really good track record against the spread. The only team that hasn't is the Raiders, and Gruden historically has made a lot of comments about getting vertigo and like doesn't want to fly and so on and so forth. So
hola!
They really haven't. So, I mean, like that's part of it. But there's also the X's and O's in the game altogether, right? You know, Pittsburgh's offensive line is going to be a challenge for them for the majority of this season. For 3 quarters, they look really bad against the Bills. Yannick Ngakoue is probably not going to play. I know he practiced today with his hamstring taped up. I actually don't even know how you tape up a hamstring. I'm just picturing them like wrapping duct tape around his body right now. But Gerald McCoy's also out for them. So it's really just Max Crosby in that front 7. I don't think it's as big as a mismatch as the Raiders had against the Ravens back in week one there. And then on the opposite end, I mean, this is where the Ravens really struggled to generate pressure on Derek Carr without blitzing in that game. The Steelers were in the backfield on pretty much every snap against the Bills. They probably will be in the backfield here quite a bit. And Carr really couldn't do anything unless he was facing cover zero and just lobbing it down the field against a depleted Ravens secondary. You're not going to get that with the Steelers. So personally, I think there's a lot of factors. I haven't even mentioned the offensive line issues for the Raiders as well, with Richie Incognito did not practice again today. They lost Denzel Good for the season. So it's tough. I mean, the Steelers have this history of laying an egg in this type of spot. It's something I'm always aware of, but I think the spot actually favors them quite a bit and the matchup favors them quite a bit.
Unique Ngakoue, they just took some from the duct tape that they used to keep Mike Mayock locked in the closet from making any personnel decisions here. Let's go to San Francisco and Philadelphia, a game that I think Ken and I have varied opinions on here. San Francisco is now a 3-point favorite. It was 3.5 or 4 earlier in the week. San Francisco with some bad injury reports. A lot of players on defense could be out for this game. So Niners a field goal favorite in Philly. Both teams won in week one. Total up to 50.5. What do you got here, Niners and Eagles?
I like the side and total, and I will point out that there's been a lot of resistance. So I bet the over earlier on in the week in this game. I will say that I know some groups that like the under in this game, and also there's a high-profile tout that usually when he releases plays, the market will move 1 to 2 points. Prominent offshores, the biggest offshores, did not move on this release to the over, so I think that there's a lean to the under there as well. But with that said, I'm struggling to see how the defenses generate stops here. I was very impressed with Jalen Hurts last week. I think he's fully healthy now. I think we can dismiss some of the games last year where it didn't look like he was healthy. And San Fran is depleted at cornerback, obviously, with Jason Verrett getting injured, tearing his ACL last week, or his Achilles, one of the two, can't remember. But either way, he's not here, and that's what matters. The Lions were suddenly able to move the ball when he got hurt last week. So I do like the Eagles' chances from that perspective. But for me, this 49ers offense, like, it just never really gets respect. And to get the 49ers at -3 now, it kind of seems like it's gone too far. Like, if this was -3 in week one, there would be absolutely no hesitation for me to lay the points with San Fran. Now there's a little bit of hesitation because the Eagles looked really good. But how much of that was because they dominated the line of scrimmage against a Falcons team that, frankly, doesn't have a good O-line or D-line? That's not going to be the case with the 49ers. And just to go to the point about the offense, Jimmy Garoppolo last week, I think, was third in EPA per play amongst quarterbacks. Granted, it's the Lions, but Jimmy Garoppolo, since joining the 49ers, has been top five in terms of EPA per play. And that's not to say he's a top five quarterback, but Kyle Shanahan just is a great game planner in general, puts this guy in positions to succeed. The Eagles have a terrible linebacking core that just doesn't work well against George Kittle and what the Niners do on offense. So personally, I see this as a high-scoring game that the Niners have value in at -3 right now. So I like the side and the total here.
Rob, one game that, you know, Nick and I, we did pretty well in week one, but one that definitely frustrated us was we both had the Minnesota Vikings laying 3 against Cincinnati. Or doesn't, but they call it a fumble anyway. And then obviously Cincinnati goes down and kicks a field goal with Evan McPherson and wins the game. Now the Vikings come off that performance and they find themselves like pretty sizable underdog at Arizona, who was projected to be the 4th best team in the NFC West. So this number is down to 3.5. So Arizona 3.5 at home against Minnesota with a total of 50.5. How are you handicapping the Vikings off that Bengals loss?
I like the Vikings a bit here. I think a little bit of the value's been sucked out of the number, definitely. And also, I think there's the potential we might be underrating Arizona that going into this year because Kyler Murray played a lot of games unhealthy last year, and I think that was very evident to a lot of people who are watching the games. But with that said, I think this is a slight overreaction. I just don't see that much of a gap between these two teams. And I think the Vikings played a poor game last week, but it was made to look a lot worse than it was because they took so many penalties. And I don't think they're going to consistently repeat that performance, especially with a coach like Mike Zimmer, who preaches, not taking penalties and being a disciplined team. So I kind of like that going forwards into this game. But ultimately, I think this is just, we look at the results last week. There had to be an adjustment because people naturally want to bet on Arizona. I think that adjustment happened. I think it was a little bit too much. And the last thing I'll say is Minnesota was favored last week. Arizona was an underdog. The roles are now reversed, and that's very different in the NFL. Like, I don't mind backing Mike Zimmer as an underdog, especially since he's a more cautious coach, and then getting Cliff Kingsbury as a favorite who is horrible with his in-game decision-making. That's not a role that he's typically excelled in either. So personally, yeah, I think there's some value in the Vikings +3.5. I wouldn't go nuts with it, but I think they're the right side there.
More games to hit here. A couple more minutes with Rob Pozzola, Pro Sports Bettor. You better, you bet. Tremendous Thursday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley on BetQL. Rob, your favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys. Honestly, like, I thought we were talking about the game afterwards. Like, brilliant game plan from Kellen Moore. Almost pulled the upset. Now they're 3.5-point dogs on the road at the L.A. Chargers. Obviously, issues on the Dallas defensive line. Chargers got to have some issues right now in the secondary with some injuries here. Total is up to 55. So Dallas plus 3.5 at the Chargers. Total of 55.
Yeah, watching the Thursday night game last week, I was thinking they can't make these totals high enough for the Cowboys games in upcoming weeks. I think they did make this one high enough. Like, this is a really big number just in general. I'm a Cowboys fan. Obviously, you guys know that. I bet the Chargers this week. I laid the 3 points with them. I think minus three plus 100. It's kind of gotten away from us now because of the Marcus Lawrence news. But personally, I see this as being a really good matchup for the Chargers. I think if you look at the box scores from last week, probably the two most misleading games were Dallas-Tampa Bay and the Chargers-Washington. The Chargers should have blown out Washington, but they had four trips into the red zone where they only scored 6 points in that game, including the most bogus fumble of all time with Justin Herbert through the end zone, which was clearly an incomplete pass. And then Dallas wins the turnover margin by, like, you know, they force four turnovers and they end up losing the game still. Like, that shouldn't even be possible in this day and age in the NFL. So I think Dallas comes in a little bit overvalued, the Chargers undervalued. And personally, I think this is a field day for the Chargers offense because the offensive line looks so good. Like, they were able to keep that Washington D line out of the backfield. Getting Corey Linsley was huge. Rashawn Slater in the draft is huge. I don't know how the Cowboys generate any pressure whatsoever. So I see the Chargers scoring a ton in this game. My biggest concern if I was backing LA is this is likely a road game for them. There's going to be so many Cowboys fans there. It's going to sound like a Cowboys home game. But I mean, even at 3.5, I'm still leaning the Chargers way just because I think this is a really, really good matchup for them.
Rob, I know there were two other games you wanted to hit on, so we'll play whatever you prefer here in about 30 seconds. Your favorite bet in either Titans Seahawks or the Monday Nighter between Detroit and Green Bay.
I think you got to take the Titans plus 6. I mean, if this was last year, we would all be jumping on this number. We had 1 week with a new offensive coordinator. That might be the norm going forwards. It might not be. I figure they're going to run some play action a little bit more, but that's just a steep number for these two teams based off of 1 week of play. I think it's kind of a gift at this point, but it remains to be seen what we'll get out of the Titans offense going forwards.
Rob, fantastic stuff. We love having you on You Better You Bet. The breakdown is obviously sensational. We want everyone to check Rob out on Twitter, at Rob Pozzola. The app that he works for is BetStamp. Everyone should check BetStamp out. His podcast is Circles Off, great sports betting podcast. And he's got a Sunday morning NFL Periscope giving picks out before the game, analysis before the games kick off at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Rob, wishing you the best of luck coming up this weekend. We will talk to you next Thursday here on You Better You Bet.
All right, guys. Good luck this week.
That is Pro Sports Bettor Rob Pozzola joining us here on the show. What do you think of some of Rob's picks, Ken?
Oh, man. The Dallas injuries really crushed me on taking. I got Dallas plus 3. I'm like such an idiot in that game. Every other game I think I'm okay on.
Yeah, that's
a tough
one.
We'll
talk a little bit about that coming up next, because coming up next on You Better You Bet, as I say coming up next 3 times in 10 seconds, I've got questions. Ken's got answers. Week 2 in the National Football League.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.